miss something? Catch up right here with Claire and Dane.
Dane the Googs, yep. Or otherwise known as Google.
Google.
It is probably one of the most used search engines.
Oh, without a doubt.
To the point where people don't even think it's a search engine. They think that's how the face of their internet should look.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, and how about the term, I'll just Google it? Like, it's just become part of our vernacular every day.
And I honestly, like, with smartphones as well, a lot of the smartphones are run by Google. So, like, my Samsung is all Google-based.
Yeah, exactly right.
I don't know what I'd do. I bought a Google Chromecast, which basically casts things from my phone to my TV.
Wow.
Lifesaver.
Yeah, right. We're getting a little bit lazy, aren't we, with that type of respect?
We are getting lazy and we are relying a little too much on Google, I think.
Well, think of when you've got something wrong with yourself, you go to Google to find out, you Google doctor it, which is the worst thing you can possibly do.
It got to the point as well where Google was like, hey, we're actually going to get proper doctors in that are going to give you a small example and then tell you to go see a doctor, because people were starting to be
self-diagnose.
That they were going to get this or that or whatever else.
Very dangerous, but also very helpful.
But we use Google every day.
We do.
And there are so many things that get searched.
Yes.
I'd love to see the full history of a daily search on Google.
Oh, my God. Could you imagine?
But the question that everyone always wants to ask, of course, is what are the most searched things on Google?
Right.
Because I love going to Google and typing in how to or do you or like, and then seeing what else comes up.
Yeah, exactly right.
So I've got a list here of the 10 most searched how-to questions on Google.
Oh, God, I'm a little bit nervous about this.
What do you think one of them would be? How to? What would you search?
How to change a tyre.
No.
Not on there?
Not even on
there.
All
right, let's go for number 10.
Let's go simpler then.
Okay.
10, how to lose belly fat.
Okay. Yeah, well, walk and eat right. There's your answer. No need to Google.
Thank
I'm not
you,
giving
Google.
An answer to all of these.
Google Dane.
Number nine,
how to make French toast.
Okay, interesting. Yeah, right. So it's just eggs on both sides and then you fry it.
Yeah, pretty much. Number 8, how to write a cover letter. I can understand that one.
Okay.
I've Googled that one before.
Yeah, for resumes.
I still don't know how to write a cover letter.
Well, it's just a one-page summary of yourself.
Yeah, I know, but it just makes me sound like a bit of a...
Well, you got to toot your own horn. If you don't, who's going to toot it for you?
Yeah, true. Number 7, how to make pancakes. Thought that was simple enough. You buy a box of pancakes, you add water, you shake it, and you pour it.
Exactly right,
6 is how to make money, of course. Had to be in there somewhere. 5 is how to draw. Sorry, Google can't help you with that one.
Yeah, you need some talent, champ.
Yeah. Number 4 is how to lose weight.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, now the top 3. These 3 really get me. Okay, number 3. How to get pregnant.
Oof, you're Googling that.
You're either too young.
You shouldn't be pregnant.
Or, yeah, exactly. Number 2, how to kiss.
Oh, that's.
I feel like there's a lot of 12-year-olds out there wanting to know a bit more than they should.
I feel like as well with that one, sometimes...
Mate, you just go for it.
Yeah, there's that. And life experience just outweighs sitting in front of a screen sometimes.
Yeah.
You've got to trial and error with some things, and that's probably one of them.
And number 1, I've actually Googled myself, and I'm sure you have too. And
I
can understand why this is the most Googled thing. How to tie a tie. The number 1 most Googled how-to is how to tie a tie.
Yes, because we know that every man or anyone who wears a tie needs some serious help from their loved one to get it done
right.
Yeah,
and so normally it's me Googling, hang on, no, you've got to go under.
Plenty of thunderstorms on the block at the moment.
Yeah.
You can catch it 7:30 Sunday through Wednesday on Channel 9. And one of the hosts taking us through the block, Shelley Craft, joins us right now. Good morning, Shelley.
Good morning, guys. How are you doing?
Yeah. Not too bad, but it is drama-packed at the moment, isn't it?
Isn't it just? It is absolutely pumping on the block at the moment. And look, we are almost halfway through the competition, so it's sort of what we would expect. Everybody starts to crack at different times, but it seems to all be culminating in this week. And as you described it, it's almost like the perfect storm for us.
Now, on that, I have seen some promos and stuff. I'm not sure it's going to air yet, but some contestants have had a crack at you, Shelley, when you're trying to help out, because you and Scotty visit rooms and that type of thing, and then they have a crack at you for having an opinion. Do you think that's fair?
Oh, how dare they
have I know!
Opinion. And how dare I have an opinion. Look, it's one of those things. You know, the first few series I was so polite and I tried to just gently persuade them that perhaps this is what the judges were looking for. And now I'm like, come on, guys, pull your fingers out. This is not good enough.
You've been spending too much time with Keith.
Yeah, that's it. But, you know, we're 11 series in. Mm. The standard is getting higher and higher. And they just have to step up. So I'm there to help them step up to be the best they can be.
Now, Shelley, we need to talk about what's going on between Ronnie and Georgia and Elise and Josh.
Oh, there's not much going on, is there? There is absolute donuts there from Josh and Elise. They're giving Ronnie and Georgia nothing.
No.
How did I even feel? I just felt horrible, actually. I was just cringing when Ronnie and Georgia were saying, oh, this is awesome, you know, water under the bridge and divine intervention. And then we'd cut to Josh and Elise going, nah, not going to happen.
Not going to happen at all. Yeah. So I'm interested to see what happens when we get to the outdoor weeks, because Josh and Elise wanted to put a pool in.
Yep.
They put a big meeting together. This is a few episodes ago.
Yeah.
Ronnie and Georgia were the ones that flat out said, not letting you do stuff early.
Right.
So it'll be interesting to see how it all goes down when that week comes about.
Oh, it is going to be absolute hell. I can guarantee you that now. We're a few weeks away from Landscaping Week, and it is just, it's still brewing there under the surface.
Yeah.
Because everyone is sort of planning ahead a little bit. They're starting to think about, obviously, their budgets for landscaping and what they can do out there. And to have Josh and Elise have their pool pretty much vetoed because of Ronnie and George's decision at the Body Corp. Yeah, that is going to come back to bite a few people, I think.
Is this genuine animosity, Shelley, or is this just pure competitiveness to get the best house and obviously the best result at auction at the end of the week?
Look, I think there's some teams that are working for themselves and there's some teams that are just enjoying the block environment and are making lifelong friends. Also have that competitive spirit, no doubt, but are seeing it as, you know, a wonderful life experience, not just for the competition.
Mm.
And we see it every year. There's always one team that sort of goes out on their own and is, you know, in it for the win.
Yep.
And it's not until we see them post-auction and months after and perhaps at events later on that they say, oh, I wish I'd actually made more of the camaraderie and made more of the experience. So
are you talking,
look, everyone plays the game differently.
Are you talking specifically about a couple just then, Shelley? Or...
No. I don't think so.
Well, can we touch on the elephant in the room, this whole cheating scandal that's gone ahead with Ronnie and Georgia, Jason confronting them. Where do you stand on? Because I know a lot of them take inspiration from outside sources.
Pinterest,
I understand
Instagram,
that.
All of that.
I totally get that.
Absolutely. Look, everybody does. If you were renovating a place, you'd be using all those sources to find inspiration.
It was very similar, though, Shelley.
Look, I think that was one aspect of the room. That was one particular angle. And in Georgia's defence, you know, all the items that she used in that room are very on trend right now. So the brass bedhead is very on trend. You'll see that in 100,000 shots, pictures on Instagram, wherever you look. The canopy over the bed, that's very much on trend for girls' rooms at the moment. So had they have shown every angle of the room, you'd see lots of other elements. And they did create what I thought was a beautiful room.
Okay. Yeah, it was.
Know,
it was a gorgeous room.
Okay,
Well, Shelley, I cannot wait to see more of this drama unfold because it seems like it's only just starting.
I love it. It's so good.
That's it. We're on the downhill run to the auctions now.
Yeah.
I can guarantee you. Plenty of drama, but plenty of fun and plenty of laughs as well.
Absolutely.
All right, you can catch Shelley Craft 7:30 tonight on 9 on the block, hanging out with her favourites, Ronnie and Georgia. I don't mean that. Just jokes, Shelley, just jokes. Thanks so much for joining us this morning.
See you soon, guys. Bye.
Hey, Dane.
Yes?
You know what's better than raining diamonds? Eating diamonds.
Okay.
What? Did you think that was going somewhere else?
I wasn't quite sure what was going on, and my mind went somewhere very, very rude very quickly. But the thing is, why would you want to eat diamonds? Because they're quite hard. They'll hurt your teeth.
Well, there are now edible diamonds. London Selfridge Department Store has launched the Billionaire Ice Cream Cone this week, and it lets their customers literally eat diamonds. Right?
Okay.
It's a decadent dessert clock. Decadent dessert that clocks in at 350 grams.
Okay.
So nearly a pound of ice cream and toppings.
That's just under a half a kilo,
yeah. All nestled in a crisp wafer cone. Now, it's made to order, designed by luxury ice cream producer Snowflake Gelato.
Yes.
And it costs €99 or $161.
Right.
So it's probably one of the most expensive ice creams in London. What makes it so expensive, though, of course, isn't the, you know, creamy salted caramel gelato or the homemade cone. Or, you know, it being dipped in a rare Madagascan dark chocolate. None of that makes it expensive, apparently. What it is that they have these little diamonds delicately placed, okay, as well as macaroons with 24-carat edible gold leaf.
Do you take the diamonds and the gold leaf off and keep them as like a put in a safety deposit box, or how does that work? Are you supposed to eat them?
No, you're supposed to eat them. They are edible. So I'd say that they're probably just sugar in the shape of a diamond.
What's the point behind all of this? It makes no sense.
Money, money, money.
Australian Survivor, another elimination at Tribal Council. Yeah. And this bloke, he copped an absolute barrage from Michelle and he couldn't quite defend himself. Benny, he joins us right now. Good morning, Ben.
Morning.
G'day, guys. How are you?
Oh,
how are you doing?
Oh, I'm good. Obviously, I was a little traumatised afterwards. I was kind of glad to get out of there because I reckon if I had to go back to camp, it would have been awkward.
Oh yeah.
At least I had the fight or flight instinct, and I could flight.
you didn't really have a choice. They flighted you,
yeah.
Mate. You didn't even get you couldn't even defend yourself, mate. You gave her enough ammunition. At camp over
Without
the last couple
it.
Of days. Yeah,
it
was sort of like you said it and then you went, oh, crap, I shouldn't have said that. What moment did you realise at camp when you said it that you made a mistake, or it wasn't until Tribal Council when she was firing on all barrels?
Yeah, look, I knew at camp it could backfire. It was a gamble when I said that because it was preemptive, because I knew I was not in a particularly strong position, but I still believed, and I knew she was in not a good position either.
Mm.
But I still believed that Lockie was still a target. So I was trying to, give her a bit of information to get some trust out of her. But then I come on to learn that Lockie's completely safe.
Yeah.
And, so that's when it really hit the fan, because now all of a sudden it's between me and Michelle, and Michelle's got this, ammunition. I've given her plenty of material to work with all of a sudden. I'm like, damn, I might... But I still had bonds within that tribe that... Oh, look, I still banked on, I pretty much was relying on luck.
Yeah.
And, luck didn't go my way. I could have played it a bit better, but, mate, I went out in a blaze of fiasco, and I reckon...
Yeah, you definitely...
It was a tribal to remember, that's for sure. And, if you're going to go out, you might as well be remembered.
Well, on that point,
Absolutely. You
are a super fan of the show, and you even sort of mentioned, I can't believe I'm saying Jonathan Lapalli is about to snuff my torch. That moment for you, I know you've been eliminated, not part of the jury, didn't make it to the end, but would you do it again?
Oh, absolutely, mate. It's a money can't buy experience, Survivor. It gives you some of your best and worst moments of your life.
But Ben, I believe the weather was pretty shocking most of the time you were over there.
Yeah, especially early on. It was just, thunderbolts and lightning, very, very frightening. To quote from. But, we endured a cyclone on night four.
Jeez.
It just absolutely buffeted down on us all night.
And you go back to that?
Pardon?
You'd go back to that?
Yeah, absolutely, mate. It's addictive. I can't explain it to you. It's Survivor's like, it's a bit like a drug.
Yeah, no,
yeah,
totally understandable.
Enough.
Now, watching as a super fan and then playing, did you play the game like you wanted to, or did you play the game better on your couch watching series at home?
Mate, I'm a great armchair critic. I'll tell you that.
Now, look, Dane is actually a really good armchair critic as well. He loves getting a little bit aggressive with people sometimes when he doesn't like the way they've played. Do you think Dane would be great in the jungle as well, or is he better off staying as an armchair critic?
Oh, I think we should meet up and we can be armchair critics together.
Yes, Ben, I like that. If I could be critical of your game for one moment.
Oh, here we go.
Again, from an armchair critic, was the fact that I said to my girlfriend, we're sitting on the couch as we're watching the show. I was like, didn't really see much of you. You didn't really make any moves or anything. You were sort of just there. Was that the idea?
Okay, so I did make... reality is I did make moves, but... I wasn't essential to the narrative of the show. The show has a narrative to tell,
yes.
And I just wasn't a big cog in that.
No.
I did make moves that obviously weren't seen or explained to the viewers. It's just what it is.
Yeah, well, at least you're back flipping burgers, mate, which is good news and grilled and doing what you do. Who do you think you'll win quickly?
Oh, look, I'm supporting my fellow Perth girl, Sarah. ever since I left the show, it's lost some of its sex appeal. I'm only pulling your leg there, guys. She's got a lot to offer us. She's got brains. She's got enough brawn to do well in the challenges, but not be seen as the biggest physical threat. And to say that she's got beauty is like saying that I look like, you know, that I've got curly hair.
Yes,
you
know, yeah. Exactly right. Well, Ben, you're great to watch, mate. Yeah. Thank you so much for your time this morning. Really appreciate it, Ben from Australian Survivor. Thanks, buddy.
Thank you very much, guys.